and see what the Lord will do. Hallelujah. Well, you know, my wife this week reminded me that today is May the 22nd. So that's 5-22-22. 5-22-22. So I'm a numbers guy. God's a numbers guy. He wrote the book of numbers. So don't criticize me when I start talking about numbers. But I said at the beginning of this year, 22 is a good number for 2022. Now, 5-22, 5 is the number for grace. So we're saying God is able to make all grace abound. More grace. Say more grace, Lord. Same grace that saved you, the Bible says, empowers you to say no to worldly things and not be conformed to the world. The same grace empowers you. The grace of God is an empowerment of God upon your life. So 5-22, the number 22 is a number for light in the Hebrew. Now, there are 22 bowls of oil historically under the menorah that lit up the temple. 22 bowls of oil, because 22 means light. God told Moses to ordain 22,000 Levites, 22,000 priests, to do the work of the ministry in the temple. So the number 1,000 means the glory of the Lord. 22 means light. So the priests were to minister the light of the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Zach, you like that, right? Numbers. Okay, the word light in your Bible shows up 264 times. But if you divide that by 12, which is God's number of order and administration, you get 22. Light shows up 22 times in the book of John. Hallelujah. Actually, the word 22 means completion, or the number means completion. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 days in the fall feasts, from Feast of Trumpets to the Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, 22 days every year, no matter where it falls, 22 days. There's 22 chapters, completion, in the book of Revelation. And we know that's the last chapter. So Christ is most likely to return in the fall feasts, maybe with the blowing of the trumpet on Rosh Hashanah. Ruth, you're getting this for the first time. I can just see. It's like a deer in the headlights, you know. The light has come on. Hallelujah. I love it. I love preaching to people that are listening. But what I'm saying is, look for the fingerprints of God. You know, I put out a daily devotional, and we just got in some new. By the way, there might be some books of mine yet from the conference on the table back there. I preached a message on the kingdom of God. I haven't preached on that for a while. I might want to bring that back. But I've got 4 teachings on that to help you understand why it's so important, why Jesus preached and told us to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus didn't come to start another religion, but he came to introduce a kingdom. And that's why we pray, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth, it says, not on earth. We say on earth, but it's in this earth. Men, you know you were made from the dust of the earth. Women, you were made from spare ribs. But we're all made from the dust. I don't know. I gave that joke Friday night, and it went over better than this. Maybe you've heard it before. I don't know. But I want you, as I do, look for the fingerprints of God on your life. Nothing that happens is a coincidence. It's a God incident. When Moses took note of the burning bush, a bush burning but not being consumed, he said, I'm going to look a little closer at this strange sight. And when God saw that he was investigating it further, then God spoke. Moses. Moses, take off your shoes. I'd have been out of my shoes. Holy ground. We're on holy ground here when God shows up. Okay. Give me my screens. We're talking about leadership lessons from Nehemiah. I'm going to be on it at least another week because I want to tell you how Nehemiah rebuilt these walls using the church, using the congregation, using the people. I'm not going to talk about that today, but the next time I'm going to talk to you about it. Because here's why. There were 12 gates that made up the walls of Jerusalem, 2.5 miles of walls. Miraculously, Nehemiah rebuilt the walls. We know that the book before Nehemiah, Ezra rebuilt the temple. But Nehemiah rebuilt the walls. 70 years later, he said, it's a shame. The temple's built, but it needs walls. Now, these are good walls. I'm going to talk to you today about good spiritual walls. I'm going to make a spiritual application to this word. Because the walls protect the city. The walls protect the temple. Many times people get saved, but their walls are out of order. Now, I'm going to put this image up here so that you can understand it. Your temple and your walls. Your temple represents your faith, that light in the center of your being. Now, that light coming from heaven, my wife has told me, is not scriptural. The light comes from our heart. But that little image there is what I want to help you understand. Everywhere you go, you carry not only a force field that protects you, nothing can happen that God doesn't allow, but it's also that light in your heart creates a little bubble that if you can just get somebody in the bubble of the glory of the Lord, then anything can happen. You get close to somebody or they get too close to you, watch out. I tell you what, watch out for some of these people that are front row sitters. They are a wild bunch. You sit on the first or second row here. Because out in the marketplace, they're fearless. And they know that somebody gets too close to you. Man, I've had people angry at me, but as soon as they get close to me, it's like, hey, the Holy Spirit, you know, is irresistible. The Holy Spirit in you draws people to the love, the joy, the peace of God. So your temple represents your faith, but your walls, spiritually speaking, represent your lifestyle, your conduct, or your character. And let me tell you, the people in the world can't see your heart, maybe can't see your faith, but they're watching your conduct. So we need to build the walls. These are good walls. Rebuild the walls of our life. We're living in a generation right now where a lot of people, secular, worldly people, are rejecting Christianity because they've seen the broken down walls. You know, they've seen a lot of, you know, false Christianity, or they don't like to see, I'm looking for the word, don't be a hypocrite. Hypocrite. You know, people that might worship on Sunday, but they look like and talk like the devil all week long. People are not going to buy that anymore. So we're going to rebuild the walls, the character of God. We're going to walk with the mind of Christ and guard everything that comes out of our mouth, because this is what protects the temple, and it also shows well for God. Now, I'm going to tell you, youth, some of you that are graduating, and maybe online, we've got young people too watching, you are coming out of high school in a very dangerous world. And especially when you graduate from school, you know, you've been in a season in your life under a lot of discipline and under a schedule that's required of you. And that's kept you safe in some ways. And some kids, when they graduate, they think, well, now I'm an adult. You know, now I'm going to go wild and do everything that I've wanted to do. Watch out. You better protect the temple and have your walls built, because it doesn't work that way. The enemy is out there. He wants to influence your life with the culture of this world. And I tell you what, the world's not going to get any easier. It was just a week ago that an 18-year-old, a high school kid up in Buffalo, New York, walked into a grocery store shooting, killed 10 people in a mass shooting. Of course, we know he was inspired by the devil. A year before that, he had talked about doing that in his school. The same guy, they're finding that out now. But, we know that that was a hate crime. God is love. God's love neutralizes hate in people's lives. That's why the answer to the world, the answer to the chaos in the world, we know is the presence and the power of God. But how people are going to see that is they're going to see that in us. As God has intended it to be, Jesus died on the cross, and that was bad. Then he went into the grave and was resurrected. That was good. Hallelujah. But what was even gooder is when Jesus ascended into heaven and sent his Holy Spirit to earth to live inside of his people. And so the kingdom of God is coming and the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is within you, the Bible says. It's not about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, but the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we're learning that, and the way God is going to change the world is, it's his plan, is that we would influence the world's culture with the culture of heaven. Hallelujah. So last week I told you Nehemiah rebuilt the walls in 52 days. That was a miracle. And he said, come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so we will no longer be in disgrace. It was disgraceful in the natural sense to have walls that were broken down. But in a very real way, the security and the protection of the temple was at risk. And so they needed to rise up and build. And I really hear it coming through many different voices and many different directions right now, that where the body of Christ is, we're back to the board of discipling the body of Christ, to grow up. Look at somebody next and say, grow up. That's what the Bible says. Grow up. I am going to bring my dad's book, Destined to Mature, back out onto the table. And we're going to do a summer Wednesday night series on discipleship out of my dad's book, Destined to Mature. You are all destined to mature. And Laura, you're applauding, but you're going to be teaching some of it. And Laura Upleger is going to be teaching some of it. I'm calling on some of the teaching gifts from our IOM faculty as well, because you don't know what you think you know until you can teach it. That's why Jesus didn't say, go thou and make converts. He said, go and make disciples. What's the difference between just a believer in Jesus and a disciple of Jesus? A disciple of Jesus not only believes in the teachings of Jesus, but he's able to teach others. So you are a disciple and you're a discipler. Okay, that's not my message today. I want you to turn to Nehemiah, go to chapter 4. We're going to start there. The first thing I want you to know is that we are builders. Become a builder in the world today, spiritually speaking. Now, naturally speaking, I love building. I love building houses. I've been involved in building most of what's here at Christian Retreat. I've been here that long. I was even building the dining room, the first building that we built. I was in high school, climbing around on the beams. Yeah, when they came down, that is another story. It actually collapsed. How do you do that? I should have been up there in the middle of the collapse, but Henry Brunk said, take a break early, because we ran out of plywood. They had set all the plywood up on the trusses, but they didn't have enough braces on them. And there's a lot of windows, you know, in the front of the dining room. And we took an early lunch break, me, I was working for a little extra money, you know. And while we were away on lunch break, boom, it all came down. That was the dining room. Now, then this building was built. I was in college. And then I came back, and I mostly got involved in working with the contractors to build buildings. I love building. We built our house a lot of years ago, raised all our children in our house. When I was a little boy, my dad bribed me to read the Bible through, cover to cover. He said, son, I'll give you $20 if you can read the Bible through, cover to cover. So I did it. While we were driving all over the country, I was reading the Bible. Did I understand it all? Of course not. But while I was reading it, the Word of God was working, was flushing. The water of His Word was laying a foundation. But what I had my mind on was the $20. Because I wanted to buy an Erector set. The expensive one with the big motor in it. So I could build things that would work. How many remember Erector sets? Yeah. So I'm a builder. But let's talk about how do you build spiritually. Here's a good verse. Ephesians 4:29. You can build others up by not letting any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful, read it with me, for building others up according to their needs. What a great ministry. What God's called us to is what Jesus was called to go about, Acts 10:48, to go about doing good. Just go about doing good, building people up. Encouraging them, because God is able. And even if you don't know what to say good about them, you can say things from God's word by faith. That's what we are, people of faith. So we're becoming builders. Now, my wife is so good to keep me from saying anything negative, you know, because she's just right there to nail me, you know. Well, honey, I didn't mean that negatively. I'm just stating a fact. Okay, well, if it's not a faith, then even a fact should not be spoken. You catching this, Greg? You believe this, don't you? You know, so you can think it, but we don't want to, we just think it up here. We want to think with our heart and then speak the word of the Lord over your children, over your friends, over your boss, over your pastor. Don't have pastor for lunch. After church on Sunday, did you hear this about him? You know what? I heard this. I heard that. I'm just messing with you. Look at this. You can build yourself up because this is a Holy Ghost church. Amen, Daniel. It's a Holy Ghost church. We pray in tongues. Are you allowed to say that in church these days? You sure can. If you own your building, as we do, you know, nobody can tell you what you can say or not say. Bill Kerfey, attorney, do I have the freedom of speech in this country?
Depends on where.
Yeah, it depends on well. Yeah. Depends on what side of the aisle you're on. No. Let me tell you how this works. The Bible says that your prayer language, you know, in this church, you don't have to speak in tongues, but you're allowed to. You get to. If you desire to, God's going to give you that gift. And it's the language of heaven. It's a language that God can speak through you with. And then there's another gift called the interpretation of tongues. He can speak through you what he wants to speak to you and then interpret it to your understanding. So that's how I hear from God every day and most often, praying in tongues more than ye all. As the Apostle Paul said. And while I'm praying in tongues, God's given me instructions and I'm writing them down. And it's the best list of things to do today than I can ever get on my own mind. So when we get stressed or in trouble, the Bible says build yourself up by the Holy Spirit by praying in tongues. That's what it says. Your tongues is a way to be edifying yourself. So you want to become a builder. That's why we're talking about building the walls. We're building others. We're building ourselves up. Hallelujah. So, Nehemiah chapter 4. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 4. Let me read you a couple verses here, because Nehemiah faced opposition to this. Why would I face opposition if I want to build myself up in God? Well, because we're in a spiritual battle. There's an enemy out there. You'd think that all of your friends and your family would be fine if you got more serious about God and you started talking about God a lot more. Not necessarily. So we're talking about a physical wall here. Nehemiah is building up this physical wall. And it says in chapter 4, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry. Now, he was Jewish. He should have been rejoicing with them. He was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" But somebody was saying, God is able. Amen. God is able. Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What are they building? If even a fox climbed on it, he would break down their wall of stones." And here's how Nehemiah prayed. "Hear us, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity." Sometimes, you know, I'm praying that way too. I'm repenting later. I'm saying, "God, let not my enemies triumph over me. Lord, take them out." No. Now, more often I say, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they say." You know, they know not what they do. Here he says in verse 5, "Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." We're builders. I want us to become known as the people that build up other people. People think that because we're Christians, you know, we think we're holier than thou. They think that, you know, we're trying to convict them of their sins. No, they're already convicted in their sins. What we're giving them is hope that God loves them no matter what, just like he's loved us. Verse 6, "So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs of Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir trouble up against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard to meet this threat." Here's what I want to say. Number 2, stay on guard. Stay on guard. Now, spiritually speaking, guard your heart, the Bible says, for out of it come the issues of life. Guard your heart above all else. Guard your heart. So what are we talking about? Well, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The enemy is going to try to come and insult you, criticize you, question your motives, question your methods, and to take away the life that Jesus has given you. But Jesus said, "Have no fear. I've come to give you life and life more abundantly." So we have to literally watch and pray. We sang that in one of the songs this morning. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So be on guard. Students, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The next verse, verse 9 says, "Resist him with your faith." Just like Jesus said, it is written, declare something to the enemy. And be careful, church, of the halfway hazard. When you get your life built up halfway, sometimes you look around, you say, "Well, I'm as good as the next guy." And so you back off. I've found in the walk of faith that you're either moving forward or you're losing ground. There's no treading water in the kingdom. And that's why every time I come to church, man, I sing a little louder. I raise my hands a little higher. I press in a little more. I want to keep moving forward. I don't want to allow the enemy to cause me to slow down or God forbid, to even stop in my faith. I want to keep walking forward. How many of you will commit that with me? Commit that with me. And that's why sometimes you see some people coming up to the altar here and really pressing in. Be careful. They're not coming up here to show off or to act up in front of you. It's humbling to come up and do this. But I tell you, one way you can really get God's attention is to humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself. So you come up and you just give it all up. Leave it all on stage in the presence of God. Stay on guard. Stay on guard. Guard your heart. Don't allow the enemy to say something to you, or you hear somebody else say it, and then it starts building and growing, and something of an offense that becomes a root of bitterness, and it starts turning your love for people and your love for God. Don't let that happen. Now, James talks to us about a double-minded man. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I've given you an image up here because a tree with the leaves and a tree without the leaves. The Bible calls us trees planted by the rivers of water. But a tree with no leaves looks like it's dead. Amen? The world wants to see our trees flourishing. We need to build up the walls so that it looks like we are who God says we are. The Bible says in Romans 8:6 that to be carnally minded is death. That's that dead-looking tree. Is carnally minded is spiritual death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It goes on to say that the carnal mind is at enmity with God. And those that operate in the flesh cannot please God. So when we come together like this, we're not trying to just go through religious motions. Yeah, we're singing songs and we're orchestrating something that will cause you to say the right thing. Put your mind on Christ. Put your mind on Jesus. But what we're really trying to do here is to grow in our spiritual sensitivity and to become more spiritual minded. Amen, somebody? It says carnally minded. To be carnally minded is no life, no peace. Double-mindedness creates lukewarm living. And we know in Revelation chapter 3, the church in Laodicea, Jesus was correcting them. He's saying, I know your works. I know your deeds. You say, well, what about my heart? No, I know your works. I know your deeds. And you're lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold. God says, I wish you would be cold and not look like a hypocrite. Just be cold. Give it up. Or I wish you'd be hot. But because you're lukewarm, because you got one foot in, maybe on Sunday, and the rest of the week, you're really not living your faith. Hello, somebody. He says, because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Now, I'm not saying that to discourage anybody. I'm saying that right now, what God's doing in the body of Christ, He's building the walls. And the people of God are helping one another to rise up and to look like the people of God and to be that salt and light that we're called to be. Number three, reject negative reports. Talk to the hand. I just love that image. Because sometimes I want to do that, but don't have the heart to talk to the hand. Yeah, not going to listen to that. Nehemiah 4:11. Also, our enemy said, before they know it or see us, we'll be right there among them and we'll kill them and put an end to the work. Man, you come to a church service on a Sunday morning, you get inspired. Man, starting today, I'm going to start on my diet again. I don't mean physical, my spiritual diet. Starting today, you know, I'm I'm going to talk to my friends about Jesus. You know, starting today, I'm not going to do this, that, or the other anymore. I'm going to really live for God. Okay. But the enemy comes in. The enemy comes in. And somebody that you really love says something that really hurts you. I'm going to tell you how to overcome that, because in Nehemiah chapter 6, let's go to that, chapter 6. Let me read a few verses for you there, starting with verse 1, because I'm not taking the time to read the whole story. But here it says in verse 1, when the word came to Sanballat and Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in or the gates. Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. They said, come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. That should be a hint right there, right? Oh, no. But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I'm carrying on a great project and cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? 4 times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then the fifth time, they tried to intimidate him with false reports. Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter. That's a clue right there. In which was written, it's reported among the nations, and Geshem says it's true. Gossip. We're going to expose it and not let it destroy the church anymore, okay? Not in this house. And Geshem says it's true that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you're building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you're about to become their king and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There's a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king. So come and let us confer together. I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You're just making it up out of your head. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, God, now strengthen my hand. So here's a real key. I want you to start seeing your house, the house of God, the temple of the Lord, as a great work, a great project. I can't come down and debate that stuff because I'm carrying on a great project and can't come down. I'm not going to come down into the valley of oh no. Amen. So you got to put up the hand. Not today, devil. Not going to let that defeat me. So we've been preaching the last few weeks about the importance of the choices that we make. It's your choice. You can choose freedom or bondage. And you're either choosing to live in the spirit realm or in the flesh or physical realm. In the spirit realm, you've got the kingdom. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got God. The kingdom says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. You got the Holy Spirit. We see there in Romans 8:13, it says, by the Spirit you can put to death the flesh, and then you're going to live. And then God says in 1 John 5:4, everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And so we can choose to live in the spirit realm. If you live in the flesh realm, the physical realm, the world, the Bible says in James 4:4, a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You're living in the flesh. Romans 8:13 says, if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die spiritually. And 1 John 5:19 talks about the devil. It says the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Look at Romans 8:6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, how are we going to get out of this dilemma. Well, we're going to learn to use our spiritual weapons. We have offensive weapons. It's the Word of God. Now, in Nehemiah's day, he put a sword in their hand and a bow. They had a trowel or a tool for building in one hand and a weapon in the other. Wow. Each one of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. So we talk a lot about this, but I'm going to put it up on the screen. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Jesus said, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. But they are mighty through God, pulling down strongholds. And it tells us what those strongholds are. It's right up here, the battlefield of the mind. We're casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Imagine this. If every day, from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, you have your mind under control of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have the mind of Christ. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Amen. I woke up this morning with my mind. I need that Louisiana keyboardist, Pastor John up there, stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Ain't no problem when my mind's stayed on Jesus. Oh, there ain't no problem when my mind is stayed on Jesus. Just ain't no problem when my mind. Okay, let me give you your offensive weapons here. Three weapons of warfare. Number one, confess the word. Jesus did. The devil came into Jesus' presence, started misquoting scripture, and Jesus said, wait a minute, it is written. You're telling me I'm not going to be able to pay my bills this week? It is written. My God shall supply all of my needs. Devil, take that. Chew that up. Choke on it. Beloved, I desire above all things that you mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. My God is going to take care of it. Use the name of Jesus. Jesus said these words before he ascended into heaven. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. I like to talk to the devil when he brings things to my mind. They, you know, I know where that came from. Devil, I'm not ignorant of your devices. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Now, this week in the conference, I found out that we can't send Satan to hell because only God can do that, and his time's coming. But that's the only time I can effectively use that word hell. So I tell devil, go to hell because hell was made for you and made for your demons. Put him in his place. Anyway, I can't give you a chapter and verse for that. Reference the blood of Jesus. Revelation 12, 11. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The last chapter. By the way, all these scriptures are on the website. Anytime I put something up on the screen, it's going to be on the outline in the website. And you can get it and use it later if you want. So the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. And when all of our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence. I like that. Because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Father, people, that's what's going to bring revival in our land, is when the world recognizes that God is doing something on the earth, and he's going to be doing it through us. He's going to be doing it through his people. Hallelujah. I love that. And 2 Chronicles 20:15 is another story, but it's where the priest said by the unction of the Holy Spirit, the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. It's God's battle. Hallelujah. I want us to stand, and we're going to wrap this up with a song that we sang before, but I got the worship team ready to sing it. I like these lyrics. I want you to declare it. God is fighting for us. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. And I think if we could get this song running through our mind throughout the week, it's going to make better warriors of us. Father, I pray, let this word sink into our hearts. Lord, let it come forth in our minds at the right time. Lord, so we can overcome the enemy. Lord, we're building up the walls that are walls of righteousness. We're building up the walls, Lord, that will give us the mind of Christ. And Lord, we'll not be shaken in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, put your hands together with me like this. We're in unity on this.
You are in unity, but you're not in the right beat.
I'm not.